B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Suffering of what's going to happen next. But listening to Elton Brand talk about, or talk in the way that it was very confident about what was going to happen in this offseason, and that this draft was just a small step one in many steps throughout the offseason, it does make you feel maybe a little bit better. But I think people's gut reaction to what happened last night was that last night's draft was a failure. I think that's how most people feel about it. Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to get into our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation and see really how people feel. But I do want to tell you right now, of course, at the 6 o'clock hour, was brought to you by Panther East and Black Cat Fasteners. Attention contractors, get job site delivery of all your tools, supplies, equipment, and fall protection gear. Shop online at PantherEast.com. Also, you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPE in Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour now brought to you by Univest Bank. Handle all your banking remotely with Univest mobile platform. Easy, convenient, and secure. Live life. Stay connected with Univest Bank. We're going to talk to Keith Pompey in an hour, who's been following all this stuff. But what I want to get into right here with you guys, revolving around the draft. First off, as I acknowledged earlier, this was a hellish week in Philadelphia sports. Mm-hmm. From the Eagles telling everyone that they're going to be charging for training camp and also only having one open training camp session for the fans at the link. From the Phillies being terrible, and now to the draft being a disappointment from last night. There was something else that reminded me of one of the worst memories in Philadelphia sports. And that's having Paul Pierce available with Larry Brown and Billy King heading up your front office, having him available, but because of a promise to Larry Hughes and his family, you took Larry Hughes instead of Paul Pierce. A little bit of a mistake, Trey, you think, right?
Yeah, just maybe.
Yeah, you're not a fan of that. So then Rich Hoffman of The Athletic, who we had on a couple of days ago, highlighted a couple of things from Matisse Thybulle's post-draft press conference, which actually was a conference call with local media. Mm-hmm. And here's what he pointed out in terms of interest from Philadelphia and whether or not they had made him a promise that they were going to draft him. Here's what Thybulle had to say. This is a quote from Rich Hoffman from Thybulle during his conference call last night. This is what Thybulle had to say. Quote, "They showed interest really, really early in the draft process. They continued to show interest. And my family, my agents, and I were really excited about that because of how talented of a team the Sixers were and how well run of a franchise they are. It's continued to go, and we trusted them. It's continued to go on, and we trusted them. We put our faith in the Sixers, and they were here. And here we are now with the Sixers. Actually, it didn't work out for anyone. Or excuse me, I didn't work out for anyone," Thybulle said. "Like I said before, Philly showed interest early." Mm. Was this basically a Larry Hughes-type situation? Now, look, I don't know who's Paul Pierce in this scenario. But it's promising somebody before everything was laid out. It's jumping the gun is what it is.
It's tipping your hand.
Yeah.
You know, and GMs around the league are keenly aware of that. Oh, he worked out for you. He's not working out for anybody else. Mm-hmm. So Danny Ainge went and decided to do what he did. Not that he fleeced anybody. Not that, you know, but he did what he
did.
Not
yet.
And he canceled all of his workouts after that.
He did.
Yeah, I did the same thing when I came here.
You were good?
Yeah, after I took my visit here, came to Philly, I canceled. I had two trips after that. I was supposed to go to St. Louis and New Orleans, and I canceled both.
Where were they selecting, right after the Eagles or right around there?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember.
Obviously,
New Orleans was higher because I think Kyle Tort went.
Okay.
But I knew I was going to be a left tackle, so, you know, they had Willie Rofe at the time.
Yeah,
right. I wasn't going.
Willie Rofe.
Now, I'm not saying that he's Paul Pierce. That'll be...
Who, Trey?
Yeah, no. Had to work on my
shot. I think
shot.
He's more of a Dirk Nowitzki.
No, when you played in Russia, when you played basketball in Russia, Trey, were you Paul Pierce?
No.
Who were you?
I'm not sure. I was just there hanging out, you know, just enjoying the environment.
I think when most
marveling
people...
Marveling at the views, I would say.
Marveling at the views.
Yeah.
St. Petersburg?
Yeah. No, we were in... We flew into Moscow, and then we went to Kiev.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
Yeah, just chilling.
No, here's the thing, though. I'm not saying he's Paul Pierce in this scenario, but look at who did go at 24, and it was Ty Jerome, who a lot of people had in their mock drafts as going to the Sixers there.
I kind of liked him.
Okay.
Or likes.
So, Carson Edwards is the name that most people were talking about as getting a scorer off the bench, a guy that could play point guard, a guy that could be a slasher, a guy that could shoot for you. But the other guy that people are looking at is Ty Ty Jerome going into the draft is a guy the Sixers should have taken because he is more of a scorer. 6'5", point guard. He can also play shooting guard. I think if the Sixers stand pat, don't make a move with Boston, more people are impressed with what happened last night. Do you think Ty Jerome's a better player than Matisse Thybulle? Because I know you weren't really bullish on Thybulle
yesterday. Yeah, I would like him better, I think.
So you don't trade with Boston, and you take a guy that, well, first off, not trading with Boston, I think, is what makes most people, including myself, go, ah, like, okay, take that away. I feel a lot better. Then getting a guy that you know can be a scorer and play some defense as well in Jerome, I think a lot more people are feeling better about the draft today.
Yeah, could be. But again, is Ty Jerome going to be that guy that really helps you go somewhere? Put it all right, let's do this. Who do you like better, Ty Jerome or Patrick Beverley?
Okay, yeah, Patrick Beverley.
Like, that's kind of the way you have to look at it, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. If we're to believe what Elton Brand has led us to believe, then that's the way you have to look at it.
Okay, so basically what
I'm not going to lose sleep over a white guard from the University of Virginia.
Oh, come on, what's that have to do with anything?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why is that way I got to be like that?
He's not very athletic.
I think
obviously he's athletic. He's in the NBA, but you know.
The way people are looking at this draft, I think the way that Elton Brand looked at this draft and what he had to say afterwards made me believe this even more, was let's get some nice pieces. I feel like that goal was accomplished. As I started the show, nothing about this draft is a wow factor. There's disappointing things about it. Most notably, again, trading with Boston. A guy that a lot of people wanted, myself included, like Cam Johnson, went like 10, 15 picks earlier than he was supposed to in this draft.
Yeah.
Some people even had him going in the second round. He went 11th out of UNC. That's ridiculous. All right, good for the kid, whatever. But I think a lot of people, they look at this draft and they go, Ty Jerome. Yeah, you also look at the idea of taking Carson Edwards. Those two names would make people feel a lot better about how the Sixers did last night in this draft. But after the draft, Elton Brand basically addressed it and just said, this is all part of a plan. There is a plan in place, and we just had to trust a process for a number of years. Now we got to trust the beef. We got to trust...
Then it'll make sense soon.
It'll make sense soon. It better make sense soon.
Now,
because that's not a guarantee for fans yet. Elton Brand might know that. Chief Beef might know it himself, but we don't know that as a fan base or as media members.
No, it might not make sense to us, right?
When
it might not make sense to the fan base when it all plays out. Maybe it won't. Maybe the fans will be, are you kidding me? This was what your plan was? Maybe it will make perfect sense. Maybe, you know, Jimmy Butler signs here. Tobias Harris signs here. Or you take that money from Tobias Harris and you get the Patrick Beverleys of the world. Or you get the DeAndre Jordans and you get a roster that you're like, wow, no rookie was going to help this roster now anyway.
Well, do you think, yeah, okay, so to that point, Trey, do you look at it as most people are looking at this draft and going, oh, well, you know, this wasn't going to make or break you, like Bob said, but they could have done better?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much, everybody's kind of looking at it where, okay, we got a defensive specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, you want, you know, because everybody feels like, you know what, you want to get that impact player in the draft, but this team, like I think what Chief Beef is saying, like, look, man, you know, I'm trying to win now. This isn't going to be a situation where you are expecting someone to come in and help support this team right out the gate, you know. Mm-hmm. So, hey, you know, we're going to get some money so that we can go and spend in the free agency, and we get a guy that's going to be a defensive specialist, someone that can come off the bench, help us out defensively, and then we move on from there.
Yeah, like, isn't this exactly what you want to hear from your team? Like, take the players out of it, because none of us know. It's all a crapshoot.
Sure.
Isn't that exactly what you want to hear from your team's GM?
Right.
That we need guys that are going to help us win now because we are a championship-caliber team.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, 100%.
So when you boil it down, like, you know, literally, Shannon and Georgia, you know, B-Hawk, AJ, right, all the guys. Me, I don't know what the hell these guys are going to be. I know I like a couple guys here and there.
Uh-huh.
But ultimately, Elton just said, these guys aren't good enough for us. We're in win now mode, and I'm going to go get vets. I'm going to attack this thing, and I'm going to win a championship.
Yeah. That's
exactly what you should want to hear as a fan.
It's weird, though, because I don't think anyone was really putting a lot in this draft. I don't
exactly
think anyone. What people are putting a lot in is Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. That's what they want to see happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's what Elton told you is the most important thing.
Right. But you couldn't have had a better draft and still done that?
I mean, if Matisse Thybulle comes in your second unit and is an elite wing defender, mm-hmm, right off the bat.
Or then, someone you can throw with that first unit, too, when you need a shutdown.
Mm-hmm. then it's a win.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, we don't know.
Right. By popular vote, right? Just looking at this isolated draft.
Oh, people think, I would say 80% of people think it's a failure.
Exactly. That's the point.
But does that matter?
No, in the long scheme of things, in the grand scheme of things, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But you're looking at your GM going into a draft for the first time, and you're going, all right, I'm not wowed. I'm actually underwhelmed because he traded with Boston and took a guy at 20 that I feel, as a fan, he could have gotten at 24. And not only is it Boston, it's a guy from Washington.
I hear you.
And he's not a scorer, and this team needs scorer.
But when you really boil it down, I heard him say, yeah, the draft isn't good enough for us. We need win-now players, and I'm going to get them.
Mm-hmm. And we'll let people hear from Elton Brand again in a few.
It also tells me, besides all the other things that I laid out, their feeling on Zaire Smith might be a little higher than we all anticipated.
Mm-hmm. I did learn again last
night. Shake, baby, shake, baby, shake.
Nobody mentioned Shake. Why are you?
Shake!
Stop giving him shout outs. He's insignificant. So you look at it, how people are reacting just from the draft. And I'm not losing my mind over it. I think that most people just feel as if this could have been a better draft by the Sixers. You could have had a better draft and still added veterans later. You still could have done that with signing Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. I think that's how most people look at it. I don't think anybody's losing their mind over this draft. But I did learn a couple of things last night, Bob. And you just remind, the one thing was Zaire Smith. They said they have a lot of confidence in Zaire Smith. They also got a guy in Zaire Smith that should be a good defender. On paper, good defender. Then you also have a guy in Matisse Thybulle, supposed to be a pretty damn good defender as well, said himself that he should be a 3-and-D type guy for the Sixers. The other thing it told me was when you get somebody who's not a scorer, per se, is a defense-first kind of guy,
mm-hmm.
It shows me that you have confidence in Ben Simmons being a better scorer in his third year in the league as a professional playing in the NBA than you did in his previous two. I think it does give you a little bit more confidence in him. Or at least shows you that the Sixers have confidence in him.
Yeah, I think they have confidence. Look, he averaged 17 points a game this year. Does mm-hmm. that get up to 19? Does he finish around the basket a little bit better? Does his game move back to 10 feet and he gets a little more consistent there? Okay, but you know, you still have a lot of scoring on this team. You still have a Joel Embiid, probably a Jimmy Butler, maybe a J.J. Redick, Ben Saint. You're talking about four or five guys, if you bring Tobias Harris back, that can average over 16 points a game. So, okay, that's why this Matisse Thybulle pick makes me believe that Elton totally knows that he's getting all that scoring back and he just needed a defensive plug.
All right, coming up. We're going to let you hear it again. Elton Brand last night talking about the draft and how there's some kind of master plan, people. For all the people that went to bed halfway through the draft or right after the first round pick and after the trade with Boston, for all the people that went to bed and you missed Elton Brand, you're going to want to hear what he had to say about it. And you let me know if it makes you feel better about it. And then the Phillies as well. That
do dumpster, we have to?
We have to. That dumpster fire of
I'm
a
going
week.
Tonight, and I feel like my feet were peed on.
But you're going to see Chase Utley.
Yeah,
you're going to feel better about life. Sam, real quick, hit me with
you are the man.
Still, it gives me chills. Sam, what's our Twitter poll looking like right now, brought to you by Window Nation?
This morning we asked, do you approve of the Sixers draft last night? We have just under 1,000 votes so far. 67% do not approve of the
do
draft.
Do not approve.
Do not.
Trey, we need 2% more to not approve.
Hey, the people are at work.
610-632-0975. The Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. 50% off any style window. Plus, make no down payment, no payments, and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Coming up, you'll hear from Elton Brand and something that I hope makes some people feel better. Time of the Fanatic, 7:13.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I went to a grade school yesterday, but it wasn't a grade school graduation. It was actually a, daycare graduation.
Even better.
I didn't know they had those.
Did they perform? Yeah. Was there a song that was played and they performed?
There was a soundtrack. There were a couple of songs. My nephew, Luke, who called
Stevie
in.
Stevie Wonder by any chance?
No, Stevie Wonder.
Because...
yeah. I didn't know that they had daycare. I didn't know you graduated from I think they technically called it pre-K.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't know they did that. But it was adorable.
All yeah, kids I think it's out. A new rage. Because a lot of my friends have had their kids like, yeah, hey, look at them. They're playing the recorder of like the you know, the graduation song. And I'm like, really? Pre-K?
Yeah.
Yeah, all my kids did that. And the reason I asked you, Stevie Wonder, you know that song that where he goes through the months? No April rain, no blah, blah, blah. You know that song, Stevie Wonder? Month of June.
No. I like
Coach knows this, right? Coach, what's the name of the song?
I just called to say I love you.
So anyway, it goes through every month. No, hear me out. It goes through every month. So what they would do is everyone that I went to is they'd have the kids come out, and one would be with an umbrella, April rain, May flowers, kid come out.
Oh, so it's all that. Adorable.
Oh, that was exhausting trying to explain
hashtags
that.
Adorbs.
Anyway, go ahead.
Toads adorbs?
What do you got, Mark?
They got the caps and the gowns on the kids and stuff?
Just ridiculous. Caps, not gowns.
No, this is caps and gowns.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, they had them yesterday?
Yeah, and I turned to my dad, and I go, I don't remember doing this. He's like, is that just because you didn't graduate, idiot? That basically, it's like the look my dad gave me. I was like, thanks, Pop.
But Joe Farzetta did not say that to
No, he did not, but that's the look he gave me. He said it with his look.
You know what? I meant to ask, how's your mom enjoying the lava lamp?
Oh, she loves it.
Oh, good.
She's down
I'm
the shore.
Dad's liking it too, Jay, if you know what I'm saying.
Turn the lamp on when you're ready.
It's lava lamp time. Mm.
You guys are gross. But anyway.
Let me start stretching.
They're human too, Mark. You didn't get here, you didn't get here by miracle.
Mom's down the shore with her sisters. My mom has five sisters, and she's down the shore with, I think, three of them right now. But anyway, so they come out of the cap and gowns, these kids, and they start singing. It was really cute. It was adorable. I just didn't know that they actually do pre-K graduation.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a fairly new thing?
No.
Participation trophy.
It's been going on forever.
I had that
Since
thought.
The beginning of time.
But it was really cute. The kids did great. They sang a song. They nailed it. All the kids came up, and they had to say they were gonna. They got a diploma, and they had to say what they were going to be when they grew up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. When they became grown adults, you know what they were all going to do?
What's nephew Lucas going to be?
Luke's going to be he's going to be a musician.
Ah, good for him.
That's awesome.
And I was like, oh, I can't wait to hang out with him when he's older. And then a lot of the kids, like, of the 30 kids that graduated, about maybe half were boys, and 10 of them were all going to be cops.
I think cops and firefighters is a big one when you're that age.
I turned to my sister-in-law. I was like, a lot of narcs in this group. and then a lot of the girls were going to be like doctors and stuff. I was like, oh, look at these guys. These guys are awesome. But I'd never been to a pre-K graduation, so good for the kids.
Yeah, my kids did a R. Kelly song.
Oh, no.
Oh,
oh no.
Oh.
Oh, no.
I mean, true story. I mean, I'm sorry.
You had no control over it.
Story. I'm sorry.
Who knew?
They did. I Believe I Could Fly.
It's a lovely song. If you don't know,
beautiful song.
If you don't know who the author of it is,
I mean, you know, it's just a little weird that you have kids doing R. Kelly song now. You know,
I immediately go to the Chappelle Show skit about R. Kelly.
Oh yeah.
Use my face as a toilet seat.
I want to pee on you. drip, drip, drip.
No, all right. This pre-K graduation is ruined.
Oh, man.
So interesting how we got to there from, a pre-K graduation.
My adorable nephew? Yeah. That. Exactly.
All right.
So it was a good time, huh?
It was good times.
All right. I went in as very skeptical. And then I was...
You had expectations?
Yeah, of course. I got expectations for everything. Yeah.
Okay.
Look at me. I'm disappointed in the 20th pick in the NBA draft. But nonetheless, or how the draft went out last night, or shook out last night, and then, Elton Brand's basically telling us all to just chill for a little bit. Now, in case you missed it, because we did play it earlier, Elton Brand, after everything was said and done, after all the picks and all the moves were made, and there were a plethora of picks made yesterday, we ran through them earlier, going from trading the 24th and 33rd pick to Boston for the 20th overall pick that became Matisse Thybul, and all the other trades after that. When it's all said and done, when the smoke settled, when the dust cleared, you basically walk away with the 20th overall pick, Matisse Thybul, who will join us at 8:30 in about an hour. And then, in the second round, you walked away with Mariel Shayok, who is a 6-foot wing. 6-foot-6 wing. defensive player, can shoot a little bit, 87% free throw percentage. It's nice to see. But it's underwhelming. Most people are looking at this as if it's underwhelming. So here's Chief Beef himself trying to let you know that it's all going to make sense soon.
You know, we need flexibility. I need every dollar that I can get. So that's what a lot of those trades is about, making sure we have enough money, you know, so we can go into free agency and get the players we need. And we need talent, and, you know, we actually pushed picks into the future that are very valuable. Like I said, there's some trades we can't talk about yet, but we got some really great value out of those, and it'll make sense soon.
So he's basically letting you know that he's seen some of the social media. He's already heard some of the backlash.
I hope he wasn't on a Twitter account last night.
I wouldn't be surprised if he had a burner account. And I mean, not saying like a Brian Collins, that he follows.
Yeah, they all do.
Like, I'll tell you right now, I have a burner account.
Do you really?
Yeah, damn right I do.
Well, really? What's your name?
Yes, I do.
What's the name?
Oh, that wouldn't be a burner account if I told you.
I don't. I never.
It's at Trey Thomas 73.
73.
That's what it is. Same avatar.
Yeah, he probably has one.
How could you not? Just follow on it.
Just don't tweet about your players.
I got a buddy of mine. His avatar, it is his picture. It's legit him. And it just says, I follow. And he's not sent one tweet. He follows people, but he hasn't sent one tweet. I thought that was pretty crafty. So I made something where I just follow people. So it's easier to go through. But anyway, I never tweet from it. Have never tweeted. But anyway, I would assume that anybody in the public eye, just to figure out what everyone else is saying or thinking, you would have a Twitter account just to follow what people are saying or thinking. So I don't have any doubt in my mind that some of the criticism of his first draft as general manager got back to Elton Brand. That's why he throws in the line, it'll all make sense soon.
And it'll make sense soon.
It all makes sense soon because he's got some kind of master plan. Now, I can't just be, I don't want to call it naive, but it is a certain naivete when a member of management just tells you, relax, I got this. That's great that he has that confidence. But I want to see everything play out. Just like a fan, just like anybody else listening, just like anybody that follows the Sixers, you need to see it play out. As of right now, this first step is not impressing people. That's not necessarily an awful thing, but nobody was at all wowed with this draft. And if anything, they're disappointed because you made a trade with Boston and because you didn't get Carson Edwards or even Ty Jerome. A couple of the marquee names, Cam Johnson, you didn't get.
What it says to me is, for the time being, for this year, including last season and now, that the three ways that you acquire players, draft, trade, free agency, draft came number three.
Mm-hmm.
They made trades to get Jimmy Butler. They made trades to get Tobias Harris. Free agency is going to be huge when it comes about in 2 weeks. Third on the list was drafting. That's how they view it. That's how they see going forward. And it was proven last night.
How many of the Raptors players that just won the title were drafted by the Raptors?
Zero.
Van Fleet was undrafted, but they did get Siakam. I think it's like three guys.
Was Lowry?
No. He's drafted by the Houston Rockets. Yeah.
Did he play for Houston?
Yeah, he did. He played for Houston.
He did? Oh, yeah. Well, I just remember him as a Raptor.
I think it's three guys.
He's relevant to me as a Raptor, and that's it.
Yeah. They just won the title.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, they won the NBA championship, and they have three drafted guys on their roster.
I'm sorry, you know what? Not one lottery pick?
Oh, no lottery
pick. That's what I saw. Okay.
Yeah, because Kawhi, I think, was 15th, question mark?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. All right, let's get to Anthony Levittown. You're a 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Go, buddy.
So I think that everybody's Philly's frustrations, how they're playing right now, is just carrying over the NBA draft, because I don't put any kind of value into what happened last night into going forward, because if we're in a win-now attitude, the draft is not the place to start, especially when you don't have a pick in the top 10, realistically, because finding a guy like a Draymond Green or a Siakam or a Kawhi Leonard is such a tough thing to do that's why you only see it every now and then come across. And like Jamie just said, the Raptors only had three guys they drafted or whatever it was. So, you know, you got a guy that can play defense because we've obviously struggled defensively. So you go out and get a guy with a long reach who can get you those steals, get you those important rebounds, things like that. So if he can transpire into that kind of a player, then you won that draft pick. So I trust Elton Brand because he showed us this year that he wanted to go out and win by trading for Jimmy Butler, trading for Tobias Harris, and getting that win-now attitude. Then he put himself, by having those trades, to sign those guys for the long run to help you win a championship or hopefully multiple ones, because you have the talent and you have the guys. And if you want scoring, we're hoping that Ben Simmons can be that scorer. Joel Embiid has proved that he's that scorer. Jimmy Butler can score, especially in the fourth quarter when it's important. So I think that as long as they do get re-sign Jimmy Butler, everything's going to kind of fall into place here, because if they re-sign Jimmy Butler, you're going to have those veterans that are going to say, all right, yeah, they're winning now. Let's go there and let's make this thing happen. So
look,
I don't really put much value into that.
No, I like it, Anthony. Thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Good stuff. By the way, Memphis, Kyle Lowry was drafted by Memphis, then Houston.
Okay.
So, but still my mistake, okay. Whatever. But looking at everything that Elton Brand said last night, the message that did come across is that to hell with any type of process. This is win now.
Yeah, the process is over.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But in terms of this next 2-week period, whatever, you have to trust that this draft, Elton Brand's basically telling you, trust me, I got you.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. But when it's a first year GM in his draft, first ever draft, and it's underwhelming, that's not a good sign. That's not how. It's not going to make you feel better. Is there a bigger picture? Is there still 90% of this offseason? Yes, of course. But the first step here with the draft, it doesn't really. People aren't grabbing it, going, "Aha! I made all the right moves."
But if Thibault's a player, then it's all for naught.
Right, but more people would have confidence if it was Carson Edwards or if it was Jerome.
But
that
doesn't mean they're right.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
but it just makes them feel better today.
Yeah, but that's irrelevant. I mean, ultimately. Like how I feel, how you feel, how Bob feels, how Trey feels.
Right.
Yeah.
It really doesn't mean anything.
Are you impressed with what happened last night?
I don't hate it.
Do you think? Right. But are you impressed?
No. Depending on what happens.
Just from
the I package the free agency as a part of it.
Yeah. This draft isn't completed for 2 more weeks.
Oh, God, no.
Elton told you that.
Why?
No. I didn't say it.
No.
Why no?
So they couldn't have had a better draft last night and
I
still
just
done
asked
what
you a little bit ago. I said, do you like Patrick Beverly more than you like Ty Jerome?
Yes, I do.
Okay, if they get Patrick Beverly and I say to you, was the draft to wait? She'll say, hell no. If they would have gotten Ty Jerome at 24, I'd rather have Patrick Beverly.
You couldn't have both?
No, because you got Thibault.
People are talking to me about drafted. No,
because they're the same position. So who are you going to have coming off the bench? Would you rather have Patrick Beverly or Ty Jerome?
I'd rather have Patrick Beverly.
All right. Well,
but
then no,
not
you can't
what
have
happened,
both.
Bob.
Well, I know it's not what happened. And Elton avoided that from happening, prevented that from happening by saying, you know what? I could get Ty Jerome here, but I know that I'm going to sign a backup point guard in free agency that's better than him,
you
so I'm not taking him.
You think you
not
are.
Not sure I can get a better perimeter defender that I'm going to spend money on? Don't want to do that. I'm going to get a rookie that's going to be a perimeter defender. That's why I'm going after Thibault. I'm not defending. I'm saying I think that's what they're thinking.
And I'm saying I understand why some people were losing their minds last night. I understand that too. I understand that aspect of it. Now, is it in the NFL when they say 3 years before you really grade a draft class,
right?
Yeah, I hate that. But I understand why that logic is implied with some people or applied by some people. But looking at last night, I think a lot of people look at it and say, the Sixers still could have had a good job. They might have even still gotten Matisse Thybulle at 24 overall and not have helped out the Boston Celtics. That's how I think a lot of people are looking at this. The aesthetics of this draft, I think you can't argue this. The aesthetics of this draft suck. Trading with Boston, taking a guy from Washington, not getting one of the big names people were looking at, that sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether or not it sucks for the Sixers overall, yes, that's the wait and see type of thing. Mm-hmm. But I get people's initial reaction to the draft.
I get the initial reaction, too. I do. I get it. I understand it. I mean, we were all watching it last night, and you're scratching your head. But then when you take it all in, and when you peel back the sheets and you peel back all the and what Elton said and all, like I said, the three ways to acquire, this was the third most important last night to Elton Brand.
And my overall takeaway from it is, yes, last night was disappointing. There was no wow factor in it. You wanted to be wowed a little. Everyone wants to be wowed a little. You certainly don't want to help out Boston. And I know that some people are putting a lot of stock into the idea that Matisse Thybulle has met Markelle Fultz once or twice in his life. Played a season with him, whatever. But I think a lot of people are putting way too much stock into that. But the grand scheme of things isn't about the draft, it's about free agency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most people do realize that, but they are disappointed that they weren't wowed in the least bit with how the draft played out last
night. Yeah, the optics of it aren't great.
Yeah, there you go.
Whatever. I mean, as long as Thibault can play, I don't care about the optics.
Okay.
Well, if Elton got it right, he got it right.
And I hope he got it right.
We'll see.
Chief Beef saying, yo, trust me, back off.
Hey, man, I feel like I say this every year. Summer League's going to be a lot of fun. Shake and Zaire and Thibault.
The Shake Milton thing. Why do you love him?
Come on. I think he's got potential.
Why do you love him so much?
I think he's
got... and Tyrone are both on the Shake shimmy shake.
Well, he's going to be a part of the roster next year.
Uh-huh.
That was basically declared last night.
Mm.
I mean, they don't want to develop more guys. They have Zaire and Shake. They believe in them. That's all. I'm looking forward to summer league.
You love your
Shake Milk.
Shake. You
free shake.
You Bobby shame me, and you're like shake it all over the
place. I think you could run around Bobby on the court.
Well, I could.
Yeah. Your Bobby take didn't go over well this morning.
My Bobby take is that the Sixers like Bobby. It's not that I like Bobby. It's the Sixers like Bobby.
Well, no, I thought you said they should bring him back.
I didn't say they should. I specifically
I tried
said,
to sneak that in there.
I specifically said I'm not championing the cause.
Oh, okay.
It did sound like it, though.
That didn't help because I'm making a prediction.
He loves Toby and Bobby to be here.
Hold on. Now, you're telling me the package deal. I do love that idea. If that's what it takes, then that's what it takes. You make it happen. I love those two being together.
So then if they separate, then they're FaceTiming each other?
Yeah, I don't want them to do that.
Yeah.
I want to live it in person.
Put a strain on the relationship. Distance.
You know their first episode of Toby and Bobby after what free agency is going to be. Well, I miss you so much. I miss you too.
I know.
Long distance. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
T-Will, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, brother?
Yeah, what are you going nuts for? Why are you all ballistic?
I was going ballistic more so. And people telling me that I love Boban Marjanovic.
Listen, man, I didn't even watch the draft. That's how important it was.
There you go.
I'm on Chief Beef side. Honestly, I didn't see not one draft pick. I did not watch the draft.
I taped the draft. How much of a loser am I?
Very. This draft was trash, dude. After the first 5-6 picks, I mean, you're reaching. And Brad is absolutely right. Our draft don't start till free agency.
Mm-hmm. That's the bigger story, yes.
Well, wait till this team gets built and constructed. I'm telling you right now, this team is going to be lethal. Mm-hmm. Lethal. You can't draft all these players and then expect to sign all of these players and then expect to build a bench around four players that are already signed on the team. Mm-hmm. We don't have four people signed right now. That's it. So you have to be constructive and be masterful with your idea. And his idea right now is saying, we're going to win now. We're going to bring back Tobias. We're going to bring back Jimmy. And we're going to go for it by building the bench. I mean, Shannon in Georgia, you don't see that. Mm. And I get it. You just see the outside picture. The best thing Elton Brand did at the draft last night is what I read. He traded Jonathan Simmons. He got money. he freed up more money.
He freed up two trades that he made, he freed up money with. Yeah, that's right. Smart, but it's not a wow thing.
I don't need a wow thing.
I'm saying, T-Will,
right,
most
now
people are wow people. They want to be wowed a little bit. They were underwhelmed.
I want to be tickled.
Most people are. They want that wow factor right now because they're only looking at the surface. You got to go a little bit underneath the surface to see what the final product is going to be. And I'm listening to B-Hawk and I'm listening to Shannon. And your last caller was dead on. This draft means nothing. Nothing at all. The Sixers are going to reconstruct this roster. We're going to have Butler back. We're going to have Tobias back. And we're going to have a bench.
That is the bigger story, too, Will. I'm with you. And I'm with you in the big picture. Just the optics, as Jamie said, they're not very good for people right now, unfortunately. And I'm included in that. It doesn't look good. I think most people look at it and say, if you really liked Matisse Thybulle, you could have got him at 24, and you didn't have to trade with Boston. I think that's what most... If you stand pat, and you don't trade with Boston, and you take the same player, I think people are actually cool with it. I think that it comes down to the fact that they traded with Boston that drives people bonkers. And yes, it doesn't drive me bonkers, but it doesn't make me feel great either. 610-632-0975. All right, coming up, we will run through Philly's game yesterday. Good God, it was terrible.
I'm okay if we don't.
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Keith Pompey from the Philadelphia Inquirer. We got Will, we got Dave, we got you. After that, 610-632-0975. Time of the Fanatic, 741.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
107.5 The Fanatic.
All right, now I'm getting hate. This guy Sean is saying that I'm a lunatic and I'm ripping Elton. I'm just saying there wasn't a wow factor. I understand the people that are pissed off at just last night alone. There is a bigger picture. And what matters more than anything is what happens with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris. I don't feel like that's a piping hot take. I feel like that's the right way to take it. I just wasn't wild. That's it. Is that being a negative Nancy?
No, it's real. It's kind of being a realist a little bit.
I think you're where most people are, though.
Yeah. See, but I'm willing to acknowledge that there's something better on the way. I am willing to acknowledge that. This, if you went into the draft last night with a 24th overall pick and you said this is the make or break, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
All right, can we get that out of the way?
Yeah.
Did we get that out of the way yet? I think we did. We'll talk more about it with Keith Pompey coming up at 8 o'clock, but we do got to mention the Phillies yesterday. It has to happen. I'm sorry. It has to happen. We're going to talk about that in a second. Let's get Will in Mount Airy up here. He's been holding. What's up, Will?
Hey, what's up? How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. Good show as usual.
Thank you, brother.
I was telling you guys, I can't believe that yesterday morning at 7:30 a.m. before the draft, I text my brother and I went through all the player profiles like I do every year since 1988. And look at the draft every year. And I actually picked the Chiefs Bible for them to pick to fit in with this team, and they drafted them. So I'm excited.
Will, you and Tom Haberstroh from NBC Sports, the regional networks and all that, who we had on yesterday at 9 o'clock, also said keep a close eye on Matisse Thybulle.
It's just because they have Zaire Smith coming back, and they have Ben Simmons, which is definitely going to still be their starting point guard. So if they would have drafted Edwards, he would have really had a tough time finding where he fits in on this team.
Well, he would have been your guy off the bench to spell Simmons some minutes as a point guard.
Yeah, and at the point guard, I think the Thybulle could still come in. They could play that position, but they still have to find a good bench.
Yeah, he. Thanks for the call, Will. I appreciate a little bit of a bad connection there. I think a lot of people just wanted that scorer off the bench, and that's who I want. Now, Thybulle is a guy that did shoot well from three, over 40%. I believe it was his junior year at Washington. That took a dip last year. He shot well from the free throw line, which is good to see. That's the essence of the jump shot, as we always talk about. So hopefully it's an easy transition. Hopefully it's an easy transition for him. If he needs to be a scorer, he can be that guy. Look, I think what you want him to be overall is a 3-and-D. And he even said that last night. And hopefully that happens. Now, the Phillies have been playing some terrible, god-awful baseball recently. And I will say it again. I said it going into the game. I'll say it after the game. I'll say it right now. You needed the bench Gene Segura for last night. Do I think it would have been some kind of earth-shattering change? No. But as a manager with hopefully some self-respect, you bench the guy that showed you up. And, was it a bat flip that showed him up? No. He had a conversation with him 2 weeks ago in San Diego. He had a conversation with him again. He had to have a conversation with him again just 2 weeks later about hustling and an egregious play. Laziest play I ever seen a player make in a Phillies uniform. Laziest. And he's in the lineup again. Oh, he hit a home run. Yeah, okay. Oh, he had a good play in the field. Yeah, his defense was never really a problem. I'm not going to sit here and go, oh, he hit a home run. It totally justified it. No, it was stupid. He should not have been in last night's game. He should not have played. He should not have certainly been in the starting lineup. Gene Segura, I think, needed a message sent. And it wasn't going to happen with him playing in the game.
Devil's advocate. All right, who's getting the message?
Gene Segura and the rest of the team.
The rest of the team.
Yeah.
Okay. Professionals, do they really look at it like that?
Yeah, I think so.
Trey?
No.
Wait, Trey, I asked you yesterday, if you blow a play and the coach pulls you out, like, sit over here, you're not getting the job done.
Yeah, I've been benched once, and it was because of the late. But if you have a person, and I was thinking about this a little bit more yesterday, if you have someone that's out there and they don't want to play or they don't want to hustle, what's taking them out of the game going to do?
Embarrass them?
I mean, wouldn't that lack of hustle embarrass them enough? Especially in a market like this where, you know, fans are going to be on you about something like that. I don't know, you know.
So show you have some cojones as a manager to bench that guy instead of just letting him play.
But
you're going to let this go for the rest of the team? You're going to let that precedent be set?
And I don't think that's what, you know, I think that Gabe is going to have to, he probably had to, I'm pretty sure he has had the conversation. Like you said, he had the conversation with him. And then you're probably going to talk to your players. They're like, look, man, we can't do this. But I think also, too, Gabe is trying to find somebody to win. He's trying to win. And if you bench Segura, even though you lost the game, if you bench him, does that help you?
I think it does. If you have a, if in this city you could bench a guy that was a reigning MVP like Jimmy Rollins was when he got benched, and then that team goes on to win a World Series, did it happen because Jimmy Rollins got benched? Absolutely not. But I do believe you have to hold players accountable when they're not giving you 100%. And that's an example with Gene Segura. You're just going to let this fly? Oh, no, you can do that. You're still going to play. Don't worry. There's no repercussions.
So do you bench Bryce Harper if he makes a bad mistake in, with base running?
No, I don't think you do that. That's a boneheaded play. It's not a lack of effort.
Mm.
Lack of effort, to me, is unforgivable. Absolutely unforgivable.
It is. And again, I'm just playing devil's advocate, and I can't stand when guys don't hustle, and that's not my MO at all. I just, deeper into it, players run the league. Mm-hmm. I don't care what sport it is. Players run the league. So if a manager tries to take one of his 25 and say, sit down, you're under my thumb, mm-hmm. you have to worry about the repercussions of, all right, dude, all you have to do is tell him, he'll be fine.
But he did that.
I know you said that, but he really didn't. If you remember after that San Diego game, he backed up Segura saying, look, he fell. Could he have run harder? Sure, but he fell. And he said,
I had a conversation with him.
He said, you know, you can run, he could run harder.
And in fairness, that was not just my take. That was our take. Everyone's take. Well, here, we all felt the same way.
Which goes to my other thinking. So when Jimmy Rollins was benched by Charlie Manuel, everybody's like, whoa, wow. Mm-hmm. After it happened, everybody's like, whoa, oh my gosh, you must have benched him because he didn't run something out. Then Charlie was asked about it. This was immediately, gotta be benched. So I get the feeling that Kapler, if he benched him, would have felt that, oh, I'm answering to the fans.
Mm-hmm. What? I think
more so than I'm telling the player. He must
after
have
the
felt,
second time?
He must have felt confident enough that he went to Segura and said, look, happens again, you're out. Like, you're done, you're out of the lineup, whatever it may be. I'm playing you now because we got to win and you're my best, and I don't think this is you as a player, whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I know what you're talking about, and more of me agrees with you. I probably would have benched him. I don't know how much it helps more than it might hurt. It might hurt Segura for the rest of the year, being like, oh, geez, screw you, I'm out. It might, some of the players might be like, who's this manager trying to, you know, show who he is?
The guy
whatever.
That writes the lineup card.
I hear you. I know he's the boss. But, you know, who really runs the show?
Well, if you're talking about players, okay. But so well, then what the hell, why have a manager?
No,
why have a guy to write?
It's not to that extreme, but you know what I'm saying.
But nobody wants to be benched.
It could cause more turmoil to bench him among players and between Kapler.
If that's the case,
then it wouldn't.
Then these guys are a bunch of pansy asses. Like, in all seriousness, if it's going to be one guy to disrupt the locker room or the clubhouse in this case because he got benched one time, like, all it should be is a message to that player. It should be a message to the team that, look, guys, if you're going to lollygag it when we're in free fall mode, well, then you got no place in this lineup. No place in this lineup.
I think right now what you see on that team, and you see a lot of frustration on a lot of these guys' faces, especially right now, and you see something where I think right now Gabe has to be extremely careful with the way he approaches these guys right now, because if you come in and he's too negative on these guys are about ready to shut down.
Mm.
You know, because right now nothing is working. Nothing, you know, you come in. Oh, hey, we're going straight to the, we're all the way. We're already there. We got Bryce Harper, all the excitement, and now all of that is dying down. You're starting to see the weight of the world on Bryce Harper's shoulders. You're starting to see Rhys Hockins slamming the ball down because he hits a fly ball out. You know, there's this team right now is extremely fragile, and I think Gabe has to be extremely careful in how he approaches these guys because he doesn't want these guys to quit on him.
Yeah,
so.
I guess.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.